Are you a sheep or a goat? On Judgment Day, will you be amongst the blessed on the right-hand side of the Son of Man, or the cursed on his left-hand side? It's an important question for each of us today. So let's look at the answers in the Bible reading set for today. In the Old Testament reading, the prophet Ezekiel was searching for the answer to another thorny question, which is, why does God allow his chosen people to suffer being taken into exile in Babylon? And his answer was this: because their leaders rebelled against God. Now, the whole section that we heard is a sheep-based analogy. Before the reading, we heard Ezekiel prophesize against the shepherds of Israel. They have looked after themselves and not cared for the flock. Their punishment is to be taken away from tending the flock. Ezekiel is never explicit, but his readers would know that it was mainly the leaders of Israel who were taken into exile in Babylon, while the ordinary people were left behind. So they would know what he was talking about. In the reading we heard, the Lord first of all says, I myself will be their shepherd. And the Lord himself will do these things. He will shepherd the flock with justice. He will bring them out of the nations into their own land. He will pasture them on the mountains of Israel. He will tend them in good pastures. He will make them lie down. He will search for the lost and bring back the strays. He will rescue them from dark places. He will bind up the injured. He will strengthen the weak. Now, this has echoes of the 23rd Psalm. It's all about sheep. And Ezekiel put in so many details about shepherding that we can imagine the shepherd doing all those things for the sheep. But we know it's really about the good shepherd taking care of his people. And we can take comfort from that, because as Ezekiel's readers in exile, they would have taken comfort from that. But we have to note that the Lord will not only strengthen the weak, he will destroy the sleek and strong. This is surprising at first, but the reading goes on. The Lord will judge between the sheep, between the rams and the goats, because some of the sheep have been behaving badly, eating the grass and trampling the rest, drinking the water and then muddying it, the fat sheep shoving and butting the weak sheep. The Lord will judge those who selfishly look after themselves and actively oppress the weaker ones. Again, there are rich details about sheep, but we know he's really prophesying against the leaders of Israel. And we can see a link here to Jesus' story about the sheep and the goats. Here, the Lord is judging between them. They represent people who have behaved badly and the people they have mistreated. But in Ezekiel, the sheep-based analogies are very strong and they're never explicitly explained. So we can't be certain what the phrases trampling the grass and muddying the water and butting the weak sheep mean in the human world. But we're going to move on now to the gospel reading, and we will see that Jesus leaves us in little doubt. The Son of Man sits in his glory on his heavenly throne with the angels all around him and the nations before him. He separates them like the sheep and the goats, with the sheep on his right, the good place to be, and the goats on his left, the bad place to be. And then did you notice that symmetry all the way through the next bit? What he says to each group and their replies are mirror images of each other. The sheep are blessed. The goats are cursed. The sheep take their inheritance, the kingdom prepared for them since creation. The goats go to the eternal fire prepared for the devil and all his angels. He tells the sheep, "For when I was hungry, you gave me food." And the goats, "For when I was hungry, you did not give me food." And so on and so forth. And the sheep ask, "When did we do these things?" And the goats ask, "When did we not do these things?" And he tells the sheep, "Whatever you did for the least of these, you did for me." And he tells the goats, "Whatever you did not do for the least of these, you did not do for me." And then the sheep go on to eternal life and the goats to eternal punishment. It's very symmetrical, very clear-cut, very black and white. And the things that we should do are not cloaked in sheep-based analogies at all. We should feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, give hospitality to the strangers, clothe the naked, look after the sick, visit prisoners. So all these are examples of caring for other people who are less well off than ourselves. And if we look back to Ezekiel, we can see that he was basically getting to the same point. Now, if we read the newspaper or watch the television news, we are confronted every day by the needs of countless people. There are wars and conflicts causing untold pain and misery. People are killed or injured, children are orphaned, families have to flee from their homes only to end up in refugee camps. And that's just a small list of examples. There are lots and lots of more people in desperate need at home and abroad. And it's very disturbing to think about it. We know we're supposed to do something about it, but we don't know where to start because the problem is so huge. We don't know what would happen if we did get involved. We are scared about the unknown, and so we are tempted to close our eyes and do nothing. Despite what we know, we risk finding ourselves amongst the goats. So how do we respond to these pressures? The need of the world is huge, and we cannot come close to satisfying it. So I think we should not beat ourselves up about this, or we will get overwhelmed. What we can do is a drop in the ocean, but the ocean is made of drops. Jesus does not expect us to solve all the world's problems at a stroke, but he does want us to do what we can. Sometimes it's said that giving to charity doesn't count because it's just salving our conscience, but I would disagree with that because the giving itself is important. It's a practical contribution towards meeting a real need. If we examine our lives, we may well find that we are indeed helping those less fortunate than ourselves in a number of ways. The sheep were surprised to find that they helped the Lord in all those different ways. They hadn't really thought about it. They just spontaneously helped when they saw a need, and they had not made a fuss about it. They had not sought worldly praise for their good works. What they had was an attitude of mind that led them to help others quite naturally. And this, I believe, is how Jesus wants us to be. On the other hand, we may be able to think of times when we did walk by on the other side. Times when we could have helped someone, but we did not. Perhaps we were busy or frightened or we didn't know what to do. I can certainly see this in myself. So I think if the truth be told, each of us has something of the sheep and something of the goats within us. And the challenge is to be the sheep and not the goat. So Jesus' story helps us to do that. And it helps us not just by saying, it's not just a question of wanting to go to heaven rather than going to hell, so we try to be the sheep. The secret is to see Jesus in everyone who needs help. To see Jesus in everyone who needs help. Now, the passage from Ephesians is for the sheep. Firstly, it links with the gospel reading in affirming the place of the Son of Man, raised from the dead, seated at the right hand of God, throned in heaven with authority over all the nations for all eternity. This is Christ the King, who we rightly worship. When this was written, it was a very dangerous thought to express, because it asserts the supremacy of Jesus, that carpenter from Nazareth, over the Roman Empire. And it says we should worship Jesus rather than the emperor. Now we are truly blessed to be able to worship Jesus in freedom. And secondly, I've always liked this part of the passage. It's a prayer for those so many good things to be bestowed upon its readers. All these things come from the Holy Spirit, and they help us to be the sheep rather than the goats. It emphasizes wisdom and understanding, which are the things which guide us to do what is right. And it mentions these things. Hope, which motivates us by giving us something to look forward to. The glorious inheritance, which links to the kingdom prepared for the sheep. And the power of the Holy Spirit to help us do what is right. So to end, I would like to pray for these things for you now. May God give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. May the eyes of your heart be enlightened so that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. Amen.